Here in the reading of the Word of God, turn in your Bibles, please, to the book of 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter. And in your Scofield Reference Bible, that would be on page 1239, we'll be reading verses 7 through 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10. We will turn to yet another verse of Scripture after the reading of this Scripture, but first we'll read this and we'll read the verses responsively. Let's all stand, please, for the reading of this passage. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Turn to the book of Matthew now, the 27th chapter. The 29th verse, page 1041 in the Scofield Bible, Matthew 27:29. And I'll ask, please, that we read this verse together. Ready? And when they had platted a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head, and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him, and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And let's pray. Please, Father, meet with us. And we pray that thy Holy Spirit would certainly be in evidence, power, his leadership, the service. Cause us to hear and to hear carefully the preaching of your word. Fill with thy Spirit the preacher. Father, may we be responsive to that which you have for us, and may our hearts be tender. Make it a good day, a good service, with good results. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to talk with you this morning about a little event in my life recently that where God gave me a thought I've never had before. And I'd like to share it with you this morning. I think I've never heard this, never read it. I'm sure there's nothing original. Somebody said, I am going to be original or nothing. And he became both. And anybody who is original will be nothing if he doesn't use what others have studied and so forth. But this little thought, I'm sure I'm not the first person ever thought of it, but I do not. The first time I ever thought of it myself, and I never heard it from anybody. It's built around the scriptures read a while ago, the one where the Apostle Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. And he asked the Lord, said, Would you remove the thorn? And the Lord did not. He asked him the second time, and he did not. He asked him the third time, and he did not. And Paul said, So the Lord said, My grace is sufficient for you. And Paul said, Okay. Then I will glory in my persecution or in my thorn in the flesh. Around that little word, thorn, I'm building our thought this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray today that you would give us of thy presence and thy power in this service. Accomplish thy will in all of our lives. Teach us a truth we'll never forget. But not only one we'll not forget, but one that can be used practically by us as we endure not only the delights of life, but also the thorns of life. In Jesus' name, amen. Recently, I say recently, it's been several weeks ago, I got a letter telling me about somebody who had criticized me. Now, that is not unusual. I get letters like that every day. And I've I've gotten where I can accept them. I've never gotten where I can enjoy them yet. I have never yet learned completely to obey the last beatitude, blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and say all that of you against you falsely. For my sake, rejoice and be exceeding glad. Now, I've got where I can accept it, but I've never gotten yet where I can rejoice and be exceeding glad about it. The word there is jump up and down and click your heels. And I'm more prone to want to jump up and down and kick them with my heels. But I've gotten the place. I believe I have. For I do not retaliate, do not seek revenge, do not try to get back. And I do not think I ever try to hurt those back who hurt me or curse those who curse me. But I've not gotten to where I can jump up and down, kick my heels, and rejoice and be exceeding glad about it. I got a letter, and in the letter it was told of somebody criticized me because of my esophagus problem. And I got thinking about it, and I thought, now I reckon I ought to keep preaching. You know what you'll do sometimes. This thing hounds me every time I stand up to preach, and the last word I say before I walk to preach, I don't care where I am, the last words I say is, Lord, don't let me embarrass myself today because of this esophagus problem. I've had it now for 25 years or so. But I'd rather die than not preach. And the day I quit preaching, I want to go on to heaven. But I got thinking about it, and I indulged in something that no Christian should ever indulge. I indulged in just a fleeting moment of self-pity. I said, Lord, if I'd had a club foot, it wouldn't have affected my preaching. If a guy's going to be a postman, Lord, don't give him a club foot. If he's going to be a dentist, don't give him an empty mouth of teeth. If a guy is going to be an athlete, don't give him one leg. And I got to indulging in a little bit of self-pity, and I'm sorry, and I'm confessing it. I should not do it. Nobody should. Good night when there are people starving to death and people who lost their mother and wife this week in childbirth, and people who are having funeral services of the dearest of life, and people that have been hostage for 14 months, and people in Haiti and Cambodia relying on street corners starving. None of us should ever indulge in the sin of self-pity. But sometimes we do, I guess, and occasionally I do, and I did. Then I got thinking, now, Lord, look, as much as I preach, looks like the least you could do is give me a voice where I don't have to have this problem down here. And so I got thinking about Paul's thorn in the flesh, and I thought, now, I know that's what he had. I know it. I'm going to check the Greek and find out Paul had an esophagus problem. I know. I do know this. I do know that it was something physical. I know it was something that folks ridiculed him about. I know it was something that embarrassed him. I know it was something that that God gave him. And I got thinking about others. And I thought, everybody has a thorn in the flesh, or everybody has thorns in the flesh. In some case, I talked to a young lad last Wednesday night, whose mother and father divorced. And his father is married again, and he's been living with his mother, and there have numbers of cases in the church like this, so no way that's going to know who it is. But now, he wants to live with his dad, and I felt sorry for him. Every boy wants to live with his mother. Every child wants to live with his or her dad. And that's the thorn. I had that thorn when I was a boy. I lived with mother, and I would like to have seen dad more. Some have that kind of thorn. Some have, a couple came to me, a couple years ago, and they said, Brother Hiles, we have a serious problem. Our grown son, we've just found out, is a homosexual and is married, not legally, of course, but has had a marriage ceremony with another male, a man, and the two of them are living together as something, as wife and wife, husband and husband, or it and it, whatever it is. My son wants to come home to visit us, and he won't come unless he brings his, whatever you call them, their things, his wife or heist or something, and he won't come home. Now, that's funny to me, and we chuckle, but, oh, it's not funny to them. What a thorn. Can you imagine? And somebody else, a mother, rearing her children alone, husband left her, or maybe he's gone to heaven, and she's left to rear the children alone, and she makes just, well, not enough to make ends meet, doesn't know how to do it. And then also the child, in that condition, has a thorn in the flesh, it's awfully hard. And to somebody else, a child died. Somebody else, a wife died in childbirth. Somebody else, a mother died this week. Somebody else, they're deaf. And to somebody else, they're blind. Somebody else can't pay their school bill. And I realize everybody had a thorn. Now here's the blessing. I got to thinking maybe I had more thorns than usual. Isn't that pitiful? Isn't that awful? We ought not do that. I guess all of us join Elijah under the juniper tree. But I was thinking about the letter I'd gotten, and this fella criticized me. He said, "Fella has to cough that much while he preaches. He shouldn't be preaching at all." I'm thinking, oh, my thorns. And I got to counting my thorns. And someone seemed to say, softly, in the background, in a whisper, "I made a crown of mine." And I kept on. I didn't hear it very well. Just voice was very faint in the background, and I was still lamenting my thorn and my thorns, and I was wishing maybe that I could relive my life and have a daddy at home, have a daddy in church with me, and maybe not be so poor, and maybe if I had good medical attention as a boy, I wouldn't have this throat problem. And I heard a voice say, "I made a crown out of my thorns." And I didn't really hear it too well. I knew it was talking, but I didn't hear it too well. And I kept on indulging in the sin of self-pity. And then I heard a voice of the louder saying, I said, "Lord, I got all these thorns." And I heard a voice saying, "I made a crown out of mine." And I kept on feeling a little sorry for myself. And then it dawned on what I was hearing. I made a crown out of mine. I had some thorns, made a crown out of them. And I thought, what a sermon. Make a crown out of your thorns. Take the adversities of life and make a crown out of them. That's what Jesus did. Take the thorns and the heartaches and wear them like a royal crown and become royalty. And use the adversities in life and the thorns and tears and heartaches and weave them together into a crown and wear your thorns as a crown. Then I got to studying some. It was worthwhile. It just made me study a little bit. I got studying. And I found out that the same plant from which they made the ivy and made the garlands for real kings in those days was probably the same plant that had the thorns with which was woven the crown for the head of Jesus on the cross. I mean, it was a royal plant, a royal bush, a royal plant. And Jesus took the thorns and made crowns. Let me illustrate. We had a lady in our church in Texas named Mrs. DeBoard. D-E-B-O-R-D, DeBoard. Mrs. DeBoard. I wanted a Jesus. I'll never forget it. She got saved one afternoon. She said, "Come back and talk to my husband Jake tonight." She said, "Now, Jake's pretty tough, but I want you to wait if you can." So she got in the kitchen and she's washing dishes. That's back in the days before we had dishwashers and so forth. Washing dishes. And she had her hands down in the super suds and knocks it all and so forth. She was right. And so I won Jake to Christ. And when Jake got saved, she got so happy, she pulled her hands out of the super suds, the sink, and she came running there and suds flowed everywhere. And she grabbed me with one hand and Jake with the other and hugged me with one hand and Jake with the other. And I got super suds all over my jaw and my face.
and super suds fly everywhere. And then she pulled me and Jake together. We were almost kissing each other. His super suds kissed my super sud. And you know what happened? That was I think about 2 or 3 weeks, maybe a month before Christmas. Just a day or two before Christmas, their little 15-month-old boy, David, got sick. And just like your child would get sick, just a little fever. I mean, nothing serious. But she felt like she ought to take little David to the doctor. And so she took David to the doctor. And by the way, gets out of the car, holding in her arms, walking up the steps to the doctor's office, and he dies in her arms. I'll never forget going to that house that afternoon and seeing that little tree with the toy gun and the other toys beneath the tree, and going to the funeral home and seeing that little lifeless form of that little boy. But that lady took the thorns that pricked her heart, and she made a crown of those thorns. Mrs. DeBoard decided that any time anybody lost a baby or lost a child, she was going to minister to them. And that's what she did. She had read the newspaper. Didn't matter. They're in our church or not. Didn't matter. She'd read the newspaper. And that'd be a wonderful ministry for somebody who's lost a child. She'd check the obituary column and see the age of those who had passed away and find out where they're having the funeral service or where the family was or what funeral. She'd go to the home or the funeral home and she would say, I remember our little boy David. God took him. And I just came by to see if I could help you. I can tell you what helped me so much. You see, I'd just become a Christian a few days before that. And Jesus was real to me in David's death. And from that thorn, those thorns of bearing her own little 15-month-old boy a few hours before Christmas and a few days after she got saved, she wore those thorns like a crown. And like royalty, she used her thorns for a crown. I could tell you story after story. The other morning, I was preaching with Dr. Lee Robertson. And he announced the night before he's going to preach next morning on the subject of what makes a man great or what makes a person great. And I wanted to find out what it was, what he thought it was. I knew he was going to talk about courage and stamina and prayer and Bible study and a disciplined life and schedule. And he got up and he said, I'm going to preach this morning on what makes a man great. That's right. What makes a man great? And he said one word, and that word is trouble. I wasn't ready for it. Trouble. He said, you check anybody who is great. And he said, that person has had trouble. And then he told the story how that he was an evangelist and was in a revival campaign years ago. He got a call from home. The call said, your little 2-month-old daughter, Joy, has just died. And he said, when I heard that, he said, the whole bottom fell out. He said, everything seemed to crumble. My dreams, my hopes, my ambitions seemed to crumble. I got in the car and drove, and all the way home, I stopped beside a bridge. And he said, I changed my last verse to Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. And the trouble. And he said, I went home and my wife and I decided to start a camp and called it Camp Joy in memory of our daughter. And now he said tens of thousands of little children, young people have come to Camp Joy and have come free of charge and have been saved. Why? Because he took his thorns and made a crown. And now that great king or prince of preachers stands up behind his pulpit with his crown made of thorns. Listen, all spiritual royalty wears a crown that's woven from thorns. How about John Bunyan? 12 years in the prison. Forgotten in the prison all of a sudden. Bedford jail, yeah. 12 years in Bedford jail. And there he was with the thorns pricking against his side. Precious daughter who left at home and his wife and family. And for 12 years he was there. And they brought him some milk. John Bunyan took the stopper off of the milk. Remember the old milk bottle stoppers? Took the stopper and began to write. And as they bring him other
bit to take the stopper and write some more. And he took that thorn of being in prison for 12 years and wove a crown. And that crown is called Pilgrim's Progress, the second bestseller in the entire world apart from the Word of God itself as far as the book's concerned. Why? Because a man did not lament his thorn, but he took his thorns and wove those thorns together and did what Jesus did. He made a crown out of his thorn. Spurgeon had gout. He was in his late 40s. He was very sick with gout. And he had to leave his pulpit and leave London and go to Mentone, France, and there in a resort area where it was warmer. He had to stay by the weeks by himself. His wife was an invalid, and he spent the weeks and months of his life away from his people, away from his invalid wife, and away from his family. And yet, you read Spurgeon. Some of the greatest things that Spurgeon ever wrote, he wrote in Mentone, France. There, alone from his people, and lonely for his family, he took the thorns that could have been thorns to prick him and goad him to do something to become discouraged. He didn't. He wove a crown of thorns and wore it with dignity. David Brainerd, that consumption, check that songbook. Just check it. You will find, you'll have a hard time finding a song in that book that wasn't written through tears with a quivering hand and a broken heart. Take all the songs in the book and preserve them, who were written while somebody was smiling. You won't have enough songs to last for a month. The songs we sing rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. We're written by a little lady who had the thorn of blindness and took the thorns of blindness and made a crown out of them. Song we just sang a while ago, the choir sang so well. Old Dr. Charles Weigel, at the age of 40, his wife took their only child and forsook him because she didn't want to be a preacher's wife. She forsook him. And there, in the moment of his deepest darkness, old Dr. Weigel picked up his pen and wrote the song you heard sung so well a while ago. I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus since I found in him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how he changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no friend so strong as he. He not only saves but keeps me. That song, written, woven into a crown, a garland of thorns by a man who could have given up and thrown in the towel, but he didn't. Sure, you've got thorns. Sure, it's tough. Sure, there are things that could cause you to quit. Sure. I feel the same way sometimes in moments of depression that seldom come, but sometimes do. And self-pity points its ugly fang toward me and sticks itself out toward me and says, let me put my venom inside your veins. All of us feel it. But when you do, you hear the voice that I heard. You have some thorns. I made a crown out of mine. We've gone around the world this morning talking about Bunyan. Spurgeon. Robertson. I could go on and talk about Bill Rice and Kathy over here in Wheaton, Illinois. One day, the little daughter Betty got fever from 104 and then 105 and 106. They took her doctor after doctor and couldn't find out what was wrong, and finally they found out that she had a disease that had burned up her eardrums and she no longer could hear. And they took her to specialist after specialist all across this country. There's got to be somebody here in America or somewhere in the world can help our little girl to hear. And then the realization came, your daughter will never hear. And I've heard Dr. Bill say again and again, now that he and Betty, Kathy sat down, and Bill said, she'll never hear the sound of a cricket. She'll never hear the friendly voice of a Bob White. She'll never hear the chirp of a sparrow or the sound of a whippoorwill. She'll never hear anybody say, I love you. She'll never hear Handel's Messiah. She'll never hear an organ prelude, an offertory. She'll never hear a solo song. She'll never hear words of cheer that come from loved ones and friends.
They could have sat down and let those thorns prick their bodies, but Bill and Kathy pulled every thorn out of the flesh they had
and wove a crown and put that crown on their royal heads. That crown is called the Bill Rice Ranks for the Deaf.
I don't have to go around the world. I can tell you some things in this room just as lovely.
So often we do not see the loveliness of our own neighborhood. I could tell you about Bob and Mrs. Houston in charge of these folks out over here.
Where are you, Miss Houston? Bob, there.
They're in charge of our Bob and Mrs. Houston years ago. God gave them a little girl, and they had the same hopes that you have, the same dreams that you have. And they began to realize one day that little girl was not mentally normal, that she would be educable slow. You understand the broken heart that comes to any parent when they realize their own child will never be mentally normal. You understand that. I guess nobody can unless you've been through it.
But they took those thorns and wove a crown. And that crown is sitting over here in this section right now. Our educable slow, our blessed ones who are mentally retarded, we try not to call them that, but I say it to make it plain.
Now the Houstons had that work, one of the most amazing works for the educable slow, and one that has been the example and model for tens of dozens of others around this country. Why? Because the little couple said, we're not going to give up. We'll take our thorns and
make a crown of ours. Not to mention Elmer Fernandez and Martha. Fine young man that's preaching to our Spanish people now. Sits up here on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Grew up in Cuba. Knew the persecution and heartbreak of being separated from family and loved ones and friends for a lifetime.
But took his thorn and made a crown out of it.
Now he heads up the work of the Spanish here. Not to mention Bill Shutt, who works with our deaf, a young man who's deaf himself and took his thorns and made a crown of thorns out of them. And now every week of his life wins deaf people to Jesus Christ with his hands. Not to mention Duke Morales, one of our young men, grew up in Boys Town out here. Lived the kind of a life that broke his heart, didn't break anybody's heart, but somebody in this church loved him. A dear family, the Lapinas in our church, took a great interest in him and helped the boy and became like a mom and dad. The boy reached out and took his thorns that he could have made him remorse, took his thorns that could have made him bitter, but he said, no, sir.
Reached down and raised himself by his own bootstraps and went to college and got a degree from college and got his master's degree.
Now it's one of the most prized and choice employees we have at Hiles Anderson College.
Why?
He made a crown out of his thorn. Not to mention Phyllis Fenton, his little 2'10" dwarf body that caused most of us to commit suicide.
Never a chance to have a husband. Never a chance to give birth to a baby. Never a chance to hear a voice call her mother. Can you imagine the length of that thorn, of those thorns that prick her by day and by night?
But she took her thorn and made a crown. And now she's a testimony to thousands and millions. And has traveled that little 2'10" body all over this country, telling people that Jesus loved little people as well as he loves big people. Not to mention Lucia Williams. You don't know it, but she spends hours every week on a kidney machine just to stay alive.
Hours.
What do you call those machines? Thousands of machines.
Hours! Sometimes look at her arms and see the punctured places in her arms and the bruises caused by that dialysis machine. Four!
of the most valuable members we have on the staff here, Lucia Williams. She took her thorns and made a crown. Not to mention Maxine Jeffries, who had dreams one day of becoming a mother and a wife and a mother just like you. But God didn't choose Maxine just for one man. She chose Maxine for all of us. He did. God didn't choose Maxine Jeffries to be confined to one house. He chose Maxine Jeffries for something bigger than that. And she's taken her thorns and woven them into crowns. What is your thorn this morning? I remember one day I got tired of that. Folks asking me where my daddy was when I was a kid. Some of you children know exactly what, hundreds of you know exactly what I'm talking about now. Where's your daddy? And I used to say, my daddy's dead. But he wasn't. And one day it dawned on me, I heard some folks brag about their daddy. My daddy did so and so. My daddy did so and so. My daddy took me here. My daddy did this. And my daddy can lick your daddy. One day it dawned on me. My daddy didn't live at home, but my mama did, and my mama was a daddy and a mama. And I used to say to my friends, my daddy did so and so. I said, guess what my mama does? What? My mama's a mama and a daddy. Meet that one. Every time they'd brag on their daddy, I'd say, my daddy played catch with me. I said, my mama did. I bet your mama didn't play catch with you. Well, my daddy took me to a ball game. Well, my mama did. I bet your mama would have done that. Hey, have you got poverty? Wear your poverty as a crown on your head. Be proud of it. Young ladies, it's Valentine's banquet time. And you're going to face what you face every year. You're going to face the fact that you know you can't afford a new dress for the banquet. And your mom's going to look at you and say, look, your daddy's not here, and I'm giving all I can. I'm working hard, and I'm trying to make ends meet, and I'm sorry I can't afford it. You let me know of any teenager who, because of poverty, can't afford a dress and has a date to the Valentine banquet or is going to the Valentine banquet, you let me know. I can't do much, but I'll guarantee you one thing. I'll see to it that teenager gets a dress. They come to Kmart or Goodwill or Good Night. But you let me know and I'll find some way for that girl whose daddy's in heaven or whose daddy's left home, mother trying to make ends meet. You just let me know. Tell my secretary and I'll guarantee you, I'll see to it you have something to wear. I want to tell you, every time Valentine's Day comes and you can't have a new dress, that just means you got that many more that you're going to get in the future. Wear what you've got as a queen. Take those thorns of poverty. Take those thorns of loneliness. Take those thorns of widowhood. Take those thorns of being forsaken by a husband. Take those thorns of being an orphan. Take those thorns of financial reversals. Take those thorns of serious illness. Listen to the Savior. As he spoke to me in my time of stupid self-pity and whispered, I made a crown out of my thorns. Our Heavenly Father,